Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, whatever time you're listening to the Off the Wall podcast here with Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and our special guest, former major leaguer and now filmmaker, Billy Sample. Billy, welcome to the program. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Joe. I decided that Ron Shelton shouldn't be the only former baseball player to write a movie, to make a movie, and here we go.
Well,
I'm coming after you, Ron.
Yeah, it's called Reunion 108. So for people who don't know about it, give us a feel. What is it about, and what inspired you to make this movie?
Well, it's an edgy, satirical, R-rated.
That's good.
Baseball comedy.
Something for the kids.
Yes, nothing. No. In fact, somebody wanted to come with their 11-year-old and said, not so much. Let's try a few years later. Of two different generations of ball players returning for a reunion in a minor league town. And it has 13 flashback scenes. They get together and they flashback the stories from their past, not necessarily on the baseball field, and we have some conflict in there. We have some situations from 30 years before that were never resolved, and some inner conflict between some of the older players. But it's a little bit, Chris, like a fly on the wall in a clubhouse. In fact, a half of the movie is shot in the clubhouse, and then we go from the other half to the scenes in their past. But it's an education. It's a lot of stuff that you wouldn't have seen. There's some situations in the movie I've never seen in other movies, and we'll see how well it'll be received. We had a screening a couple of days ago at the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center, and boy, did they learn something. And it was really well received. We had two screenings. Everybody clapped at the end. The younger adults, where a lot of the humor is directed towards, they laughed in the situations where I had targeted them to laugh. And it couldn't have been better. It really couldn't have been better. And to have it at Yogi's place with his status, and it just gives a lot of cachet.
Let me throw something cryptic at you here.
Okay.
Is there any?
I actually know what cryptic means. Yeah.
Is there any art imitating life in here that, if someone could read into, you could possibly get a black eye later in life?
No, I covered everybody. I think the only person I incriminated was myself.
Okay, so there's no law and order. There's no law and order at the top, like, you know, the people have been renamed in this to protect the innocent.
Dun, dun. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. If somebody wants to give themselves up, then go ahead. But and most of the scenes, there are 13 major flashback scenes and some minor flashback scenes. Of the 13 major flashback scenes, there are degrees of validity in all of them, except maybe the last one. The last one is a funeral home scene. I just said to myself, let's write this and run with it and see where it goes. And actually, it's one of my favorite scenes. But for the other 12, they are based on something that happened, and it'll open your eyes a little bit.
Well, give us a little tease here. I've seen the trailer, and you're hysterical in the trailer, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
But I've seen the trailer. But give us a little tease. Give me one of those 13 flashbacks. What do you tackle in this movie? And give me a feel, because you know, Joey and I grew up with the Animal House and the Caddyshack and the Bull Durham and the Field of Dreams. So is this really Bull Durham on steroids? Give us a feel of what it's like. And I'm sorry I brought steroids up.
No.
Maybe a bad thing.
No. I don't cover roids, but I do.
Hemorrhoids, maybe, not steroids.
So, actually, you're right. I do actually cover roids. Thank you. Have you seen the movie already?
No, I haven't. I was just throwing it out there. Personal experience, well, Billy.
Oh, jeez, that was pretty good. We actually do cover that. But we cover a number of things, as I alluded to, but let me see if I can give you something that we have flashback scenes. Okay, let me think here. One player was upset at another player, so he sets them up later on with somebody who may not be a player. We have that. We have well, let me tell you like this. I'm in some of those scenes come from my personal background.
Yeah.
I'm probably in about a fourth to a third of those scenes. And I actually admitted to the audience that one of them, and they kind of guessed it, that maybe I was in this particular scene. And it's one where you just don't expect what's going to happen. It's set up one way, and then all of a sudden it turns out another. And about the only thing I can tell you without giving up too much, Chris, is that it happened in Shreveport, Louisiana, at the Captain Shreve Hotel in 1977. Which is long before you guys, so you wouldn't know it anyway.
Well, Billy, I got to. This is Joe Auriemma, by the way. You and I have covered a lot of baseball together over the years.
Yes, we have.
It's good to talk to you on this show right now. But Billy, you know what I love about the title of the movie, Reunion 108, is that not a lot of people know this fact, but 108 is the number of stitches on a baseball. So I love that you took that and you put that in your title.
Well, good that you brought that up, Joe. Thank you. I didn't think I could throw that by you. And and somebody wanted to change it in the beginning, and I said no. And sometimes when you're dealing with people who don't know baseball,
yeah. You
have to sort of put your foot down to tell them, even though that you're a creative person and even though that you can help facilitate this to the next level, there are certain things that I'm going to have to do, and I'm going to have to trump you because I know what I'm shooting for here.
Right.
And I know where I'm going here, and you don't know, and I'm not meaning to hurt your feelings, but that's just the way it's going to be. And I've had to do that a couple of times where people just don't understand either baseball or my weird mind, a curious mind in baseball, which is probably a little off center anyway. So at times it's been a little bit of a struggle getting it out. But at the screening, as I was telling Chris, Joe, it couldn't have happened any better. Everything worked out the way. We're going to come back and do a little re-edit, but not a whole lot. We'll probably add a little more music here, or maybe a ding or a dong or a sound here or there. But for the most part, it's going to be what it is. It's a little long for a comedy because I think for this generation, most of the comedies are like an hour 30, maybe hour 35.
Right.
This is probably running about an hour 48 to an hour 50. But because it's so quick and I really don't give you time to breathe in it, it's a little bit like one of the movies from the 1940s is Our Girl Friday, Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so quick, so quick. Oh, my goodness, so good. You watch a lot of Turner Classic Movies, too, huh?
Yes, I do.
yes, I do. I watched, oh, my goodness, I'm up way too late in the hours just watching this movie and that movie.
I was an insomniac before I had a baby, and now I'm even more of an insomniac, so I'm right there with you, Billy.
Well, I know both of you guys have young children, so let me tell you, it took my daughter, who is now 31, and we remind her of this all the time, it took her until she was 5 and a half before she slept through the night.
Oh, thank you for giving me a preview of what's ahead.
No, I don't think anything could be that bad. And she has children of her own now, and I think my wife and I just wished her for about a week, just a week, of having to deal with somebody like you when you were younger. But, yeah, I watch way too much Turner Classic Movies. Anyway, but the pacing of the movie is a lot like that. It's just really snapping. It's really quick. And sometimes, and I was just discussing it with the editor, Brent Dolan, that when we had sometimes the laughter took into another scene where it was another joke or something that we would evoke laughter again. So we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we do this? Do we pump up the sound a little bit so everybody can hear the second one, or do you watch the movie again so you pick up all the things that, because it's going to be one of those movies where you're not going to pick up everything, especially if you're not a baseball fan. But maybe even if you are a baseball person, there are going to be things that you're not going to pick up the first time. And unfortunately, you'll have to watch it again.
Well, Billy, I got to tell you, you had a very good career as a ball player. You played in the 1985 Yankees. You worked for Major League Baseball for a long time, covering baseball. And what really got you into filmmaking? I know you had written a script and you got an award for that script, but what kind of prompted you to really get into the filmmaking?
Well, Joe, I had written before. I had articles published in Sports Illustrated and the New York Times and the National Sports Daily when that was around, and I was one of the first columnists at Baseball Weekly, which I think is now Sports Weekly. So I have writing in my background, and I tell Paul Hagan, who's this year's Hall of Fame inductee as a writer, that I've always ascribed to be a scribe. And so I've enjoyed the writing part of it, and that means of expression. And I thought I had some stories that people would be interested in, would enjoy. I have always felt that even as a player or as a broadcaster or a writer, that I try to enhance people's appreciation of the game, and I think this is just an offshoot of that. And I think people, whether you're a baseball fan, a deep baseball fan or not, that you're going to, and I got the confirmation the other day, that you're really going to enjoy this. You might have to stretch your morality just a little bit, but you're really going to enjoy
this. That's not a problem, Billy.
That's not a problem. Good. All right, good. So I was writing to that target audience, Chris. Thanks.
I'm like Elastic Man when it comes to morality stretching.
Well, this ought to be great then. This ought to be really great because... it's enlightening in a lot of areas. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I still play baseball myself, and I'm going to be 40 this summer. And if you ever make another baseball movie, I will definitely be a free working extra if you need somebody. And I work for peanuts, and if it means I get to put a uniform on and go play ball, I don't care. I'm in. I'm all in.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. Yeah. And one of the things that's tough is that you have to have actors who can throw the baseball because baseball throwing, the rotation of the shoulder is so important and so specific to that sport. So that's why it's really important to be able to have people that add legitimacy to the movie.
Well, you have two.
You don't want somebody that's throwing they can't rotate their shoulders and they're throwing so tight that you have to shoot so tight that it doesn't enhance the scene. So we were really lucky to have players who could actors who could throw and actors who look like baseball players.
You have two if you make another one. My brother catches and I pitch, so it's perfect.
Okay, I've got some other projects on the way, but if this does well and hits an audience and hits a market and we make a profit, hey, there's the sequel.
Nice. I cannot wait. But let me, you brought up that you know, you aspire to be a scribe, or I forget how eloquently you put it, and I just killed it. But, you know, you were a former player. You played from 78 to 86. Now, you played in an era pretty much before, and I brought up steroids before, and I just want to, as a former player, I try to get, you know, I had Jim Leyritz on yesterday. He's one of your former broadcast partners. We're going to have Seth Everett on tomorrow, another one of your former broadcast partners. So it's basically the Billy Sample reunion week here on the Off the Wall podcast. But I try to get everybody's input on, you know, the steroids in baseball and when it comes to the Hall of Fame. You know, especially former players, because I know how much guys who didn't put any of that mess into their systems. You know, we talked to Sarge down in Philly not too long ago, and Gary Matthews Sr., and he didn't have too many kind words. And in fact, his exact wording, and I'm not paraphrasing here, I asked him, I said, do you think any of these guys should be allowed into the Hall of Fame? And he looked directly at me and he said, yes, if they erect a expletive wing to the Hall of Fame. And it started with an S and ended with a T. So what are your thoughts on, you know, guys like Barry, guys like Roger, guys like that in that era getting into the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think you can try to establish at what point that they enhance their bodies artificially like that. And if you can you determine whether or not they were Hall of Famers before the hat size got a lot bigger or
right,
whatever else? If you can determine that, because there's an argument in support of Bonds that would say that he was a Hall of Famer before
absolutely
his body got bigger. He may not have hit as many home runs to overtake Hank Aaron, but that he was a Hall of Famer. So maybe it'll take him a while to get in, but he probably was. Now you have to try to go back, and if you believe that Roger Clemens did or did not, do you go back to Toronto after he left Boston? Was he a Hall of Famer before that? Would he have been a Hall of Famer? I guess you go through a lot of that.
Right.
But the byproduct is it's going to take a while anyway. Now, where it's really going to be a little bit of a dichotomy is that there are going to be players that are going to get into the Hall that roided up just as much as Mark McGwire, but they didn't go under the auspices of the Mitchell Report or anything else that came out. And other players are going to know that those players roided it up and they're in the Hall of Fame. And that's where it's really going to get interesting, because if the players who are on the same level of steroids as the people got in start to talk about the people that got in, then that's just going to be a big mess.
It's going to be a huge mess. It is going to be a huge mess. Billy.
And it's going to happen, too. There are going to be some players that a lot of us know that are going to get in.
Yeah.
And so then what do you do? And everything can blow up right then.
Billy, you know, I want to talk to you about a friend of yours who is, first of all, he's very against, you know, players taking steroids. That's Goose Gossage. And, you know, you told me a story one time about Goose that it just sticks in my head. And you told me it was about Billy Martin. Now, you played for Billy Martin in 1985. This was after Yogi Berra, who you, you know, you showed.
Yogi's last 16 games.
It was Yogi's last 16 games, and then Billy Martin took over for the rest of that 1985 season, and you played under Billy Martin. However, when you were in Texas, Billy Martin, basically, I believe it was in a spring training game, you might correct me here, told Goose to throw at your head. And for some reason, Billy Martin had this vendetta against you, who's one of the nicest people in the world. So tell us this story.
Oh, thank you, Joe. My wife might disagree with you, but I'll let her get in touch with you. Goose had looked as though he wanted to say something to me for a long time, and I didn't do a lot of talking to the opposing players, but at some point, when I was broadcasting for the Braves in 1988, he was pitching for the Padres. He called me over at in the stadium. It was Jack Murphy Stadium then in San Diego, and he asked me, well, how did you get along with Billy Martin? And I said, well, I could tell he wasn't real crazy about me, but I didn't dislike him. And then I asked him why he asked, and then he told me the story about Martin wanting me hit. And I looked at Goose like he may have had his timeline off a little bit, and he looked at me like, I've internalized this quite a bit. I could have killed you.
Oh,
and I said, okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it, for not doing it. I was so young, he just split the helmet. I'd have gone to first. I wouldn't have thought anything about it, except I'd have had a big headache. And but it was nice. But it still bothers him. And, in fact, the last time I saw Goose, I brought it up again, and he still had a recoil to it. And I don't know whether Billy was testing him. I don't know. Maybe Billy lived in Arlington, Texas, where I had played. I didn't play for Martin in Texas, but I played him, as Joe set it up, and with the Yankees after Yogi's last 16 games. I could have reminded him of Elliot Maddox. I don't know. We have the same nickname. Who knows? I never bothered to figure it out.
I did hear that Goose's relationship with Billy after that was a little strained, because he didn't take the orders that Billy told him to throw at your head.
Right. It really bothers Goose. I saw Bob Costas interview where he had a lot of the great relievers of our era, and they were matching up pitcher and manager in their relationship, like Whitey Herzog and Bruce Sutter or something like that. And they got to Goose and said, Goose and Billy Martin, and Goose got serious. And he wants no part of that. And to the day, it still bothers him.
That's amazing.
He's internalized that quite a bit. But I thanked him for not doing it. But
I would have,
I think
too.
He felt bad about being put in that situation. Yeah, really. That might have hurt. Because Goose was like 96, 98, and it was hard to pick up. And his ball ran into right-handers, too. So it wasn't so much the bat off of Goose. And that was okay. I was a high fastball.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine facing a two-seam fastball bearing in on me from Goose Gossage.
Oh, the tough part, though, Chris, would have been bunting off of him. Because I don't know if I brought enough testosterone to the ballpark. Because you have to square around to do it.
Yeah.
You have to have the bat in front of the plate. You have to have it a little bit of an angle.
That's
so
basically
it
turning
down
your chest into a bullet without a bulletproof
vest.
Yeah,
or your face.
Yeah, or your face.
Yeah, because and you have
and
to
Ron
look
Say
the
knows that firsthand, by the way.
Oh, he could have killed Say.
Yeah.
And Say didn't have a helmet that ear
no,
flap
going.
No, not
one of the new ones, yeah.
Oh, if he had been 2 inches lower, my goodness, it would have gone right through his temple.
That was really scary.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We're talking to Billy Sample, former major leaguer, now filmmaker. His script won the Best Unproduced Script Award at the Hoboken Film Festival, and it prompted him to make the movie Reunion 108, and it's so cool to have you on. I'm going to hold you to having me in your sequel, by the way. Now,
all right.
How could people go out? Where's your movie going to be released? Where can we go see it?
Well, here's one of the problems of a first-time producer. You don't have a distributor in your back pocket, and it's not that I was going that way, all that way. But what I'm going to do is we're going to have sort of a hybrid form of distribution. In areas like in New York City and maybe in Virginia where I grew up, or wherever I have a pocket of influence or interest from people, that I'm going to go to independent theaters or whatever theaters will show it, and just and work a deal with them saying, you keep concessions, I keep tickets, or however it works like that. And start it that way. And I'll start that probably at the end of this month. And we have a website and a Facebook page for the movie, so I'll update people along that. And we'll get the word out.
Well, what's the website so we can get the word out here, too?
The Facebook is just Reunion 108. I'm probably on that a little bit more.
And Reunion108.com, is that the website? Okay.
That's the website, yes. Right. Uh-huh. And the Facebook is Reunion 108. And my Facebook site is lowercase billy.sample.75 if anybody wants to get in touch with me that way.
I am going to
people.
Friend you, so you better accept my friendship. I'm going to be very disappointed if you don't.
Now, our politics have to be a little bit the same. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of a progressive guy. So
that's
fine. I've actually had people from my high school that have
when it comes
to
politics, I'm an atheist. So don't worry. I don't believe in anything.
But I'll go down their list of likes and not and going, that's a little too neoconservative for me.
I don't get into all that garbage on Facebook. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I just like to joke around and do movie lines with my friends and make people smile. So if you could deal with that, then I think we'll be just fine.
I certainly can, Chris. And doing movie lines and just like Joe and I up late watching Turner Classic Movies, you can call me or Facebook me at any time, and I'm going,
God.
Do you remember this actress from this 1952 film?
So are you guys going to get together, wear your top and bottom pajamas, put your slippers on, and am I going to see you with an ashtray in the middle of you smoking a cigar together, watching Turner Classic Movies, forward 20 years and see Oriema and Sample chilling and just watching
black and white movie?
Robert
Osborne and Ben Mankiewicz, they're really good friends of mine. They just don't know it.
Hey, Billy, thank you so much for your time. Had so much fun with this interview. Please, go to reunion108.com, see where you could see this film. It sounds like it's, Bull Durham and Major League all wrapped into one and even more filthier, which is even better for me.
Chris, it's probably a little bit like Bull Durham and Get Him to the Greek. It's probably somewhere in between those two.
Wow, that's good with me. Is there any absinthe drinking in this movie? Because there wasn't Get Him to the Greek, so big fan of that. All right, Billy, I won't make you answer that one. We will.
Oh, did you hear the pause? Oh, I'm sorry.
We will get the word out there via Twitter, via Facebook. I will share your page on Facebook. We'll get the word out there as much as we can. It's out there on the Off the Wall podcast, and we will continue to do that via other social networking. So, Billy, thank you,
Chris.
No.
It's
our pleasure. Thank you for coming on, and hopefully we can get you on again during the season. We'll talk a little Yankees baseball as well.
Okay, good. I can't appreciate it enough. Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you. See you again, Joe. And we'll have the movie out probably at the end of this month, and we'll blow it up.
Perfect, Billy. And like I said, you can come up to Stamford, Connecticut next time you're in the area, and we'll have you in studio, and we'll maybe do a little Q&A session with the great Billy Sample.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.